And now it's time for the show you've all been waiting for all week long. It's time for Out and About with Elaine LaRoche. And now, here's Elaine.
Good morning, everyone. We are here in studio with Mike, and my very special guest, Tony Viveras, is here too. We are very sad to hear about the passing of two great legends. One is Muhammad Ali, and the other is a local broadcaster who we all know, Glenn Laxton. And I asked Mike to give us a little bit of a clip, and I was just wondering, Mike, if you had queued that up yet and could play that for us now.
I am going to do that right now. Hold on. This is a funny clip, because he was a funny guy sometimes.
Yes, he was.
Close to news time. That we did not bother to fill our stomachs, but rather we ate on the road.
Yeah.
The trial gets underway in earnest on Monday with selection of the jury. Then the parade of witnesses, first for the defense, then the prosecution. Glenn Laxton, News 10 or 12.
Thank you. Yeah.
Didn't come out very loud, though.
But that's okay. Yeah, yeah, he was great, I have to say. I know that Dominic and he and their families always got together, and we were just talking about that before the break. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Our number here is 508-222-1320. If you knew Glenn Laxton, or if you ever watched him on WPRO or WPRI or WPRO Radio, but also, too, he had a local connection here, and I brought Tony in to talk to us about that.
Good morning, everybody. Back when the studios were on West Street at the old farmer's school, Glenn had a morning drive show, and every morning he'd call me up at the station to find out if the trains were running on time for his listeners. And in the afternoon, I had the afternoon drive show. So I knew Glenn quite well. As a matter of fact, when I opened up my restaurant down in South Attleboro, Tony's V Deli and Restaurant at Bristol Place, both Dominic and Glenn had a nice open house on the radio one day down there. So yeah, Glenn was a great guy. And I was glad that he left WPRO or WPRI for a while, did radio, and then he finally came back and finished up his career at Channel 12. So, mm-hmm. A couple of weeks ago I saw, which reminded me of Glenn, Wally Cryan, and I haven't seen Wally Cryan in a long time. I saw him at Shaw's, and I saw him at the wake over at Coach Cassidy. And he hasn't changed a bit.
Really?
He hasn't aged a bit. I think he found the fountain of youth. But thinking about Wally and Glenn and a lot of those old DJs back then, and sometimes, like as you know, Elaine, sometimes you run the show by the seat of your pants because there's nothing like live broadcast, whether it's radio or TV. So Glenn will be missed.
That's for sure. And Mike, you had also a wonderful memory of him as well, correct?
I worked with Glenn when I first started in broadcasting. I worked for, or interned at Bear Broadcasting, which owned 1110 CNN. That was WRX's AM station. And Mike Montecavo was the news director, program manager, and I worked alongside Glenn. He used to take me out to news stories, and we covered some things with, I met a lot of famous politicians of that time. Mm-hmm. Like we met with Glenn. We had lunch with who's Senator John Chafee.
Wow.
And I've met Senator Claiborne Pell of Rhode Island, and we even met Governor Sondland then. So but he was just a funny guy. I mean, like, even behind the scenes, he was just a funny person. I really liked and enjoyed working with Glenn. He used to call me, he had a nickname for me, he used to call me the Lone Gum Chewer.
The what?
The Lone Gum Chewer.
Oh.
Because I always had gum in my mouth all the time. So he used to call me the Lone Gum Chewer. He was a funny guy. He will definitely be missed. He actually came to see me. He visited me when I was running the station here. But in Providence, he came visiting. He visited me one time there. And, I've seen him here a few times on various shows, too, mm-hmm. on SOMA. So I think that was the last time I actually did see him. I think I was shocked like everyone else, because, we didn't know. It's like it just happened, and you know, just a sad thing, really. Yeah. Is we've been, our hearts and our prayers go out to his family. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you think it's death is a certain thing in life. You know,
oh, yeah.
As I say, but even when it happens, it's still hard to accept.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case in many people dying. That so even though you expect, you know, a person like Muhammad Ali, as we were just...
I remember him.
You knew someday that this was going to come to an end. Parkinson's disease was going to be the result. But even that Saturday, Friday morning, I think it was a Saturday morning, when I picked up the paper off the porch and it was a top headline, it was still hard to accept that he had passed away.
What a wonderful tribute, though. I think that everyone from all over the world has gone down to, you know, Louisville and just
I remember as a high school kid, when I remember him winning the gold medal back in 1960. He was just out of high school. But I do remember when, and I've forgotten his name, and then 3 or 4 years later, he was going to fight Sonny Liston.
Mm.
And I remember I was in high school, and I didn't follow boxing that much, but I like Cassius Clay because he was outspoken, he was brash, he was young, he was defiant, and definitely full of confidence. So I think I bet a dollar with a couple of my buddies that he was going to beat Sonny Liston. And I seriously doubted that I was going to, I seriously thought that I was going to lose. And then the next day when I woke up and I found out he had won, I was his fan forever. And even though he didn't go into the service and he created a lot of enemies, I certainly can understand why he didn't go in. Because after he came home from the Olympics and he went back to his hometown, and somebody brought him into one of the restaurants and said, "He just won the gold medal. Oh, congratulations, but you can't come in here." Why? Because of the color of your skin.
Oh, boy, that's,
you know,
right.
And
yeah.
He was treated as a second-class citizen. He was treated as a second-class citizen, and yet they wanted him to go over to Vietnam and fight the Viet Cong. And all of a sudden now he's, you know, and what he gave up was absolutely unbelievable. And for a man to stick to his convictions, that tells you a lot about that individual.
That's true, because social pressure back then was,
I
mean, I grew up during the 60s, so I know, like, the protesting of the Vietnam War and draft dodging up to Canada, and, you know, parents were getting very concerned about their children going to, you know, Vietnam. And
well, and it was easy to lash out at Muhammad Ali because he was sort of like the forerunner of against Vietnam, and he was black, and that was a lot of reasons why people were looking for an excuse to dislike him. But having said that, and having, he came back and had the Thriller in Manila and the Rumble in the Jungle, and leaving his boxing career, he became the champion of people, and people
really
starting
did.
To recognize that.
And he had some really great, profound quotes, and Michael was able get a few. So why don't we play a few for us?
Actually, this is one of these videos where Elaine, it just shows the music, and it just shows the words. I hate when this happens because.
Okay.
You know, for us in radio, that doesn't help us very much.
No, because we are not...
He did say, the man who has no imagination has no wings. That's a good one. Mm. He also said, when you're as great as I am... I like that. What else is he saying? Yeah. It's not bragging. It's just backup.
Hmm.
Or it... And let's see, what's the other one he had? I can't see because I got to get rid of this advertisement. My toughest fight was with my first wife. Silence is golden when you can't think of a good answer. This is a good one.
That is a good one.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah.
I believe in the religion of Islam. I believe in Allah and peace. I guess that was by Muhammad Ali.
Mm-hmm.
I'll beat him so bad he'll need a shoehorn to put his hat on.
That sounds like him.
Yeah. No one knows what to say in the loser's locker room. That's a good one. I like that one. see what else he's got here. There are more pleasant things to do than beat up people. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Age is whatever you think it is. You're as old as you think you are. That's true, too. Boxing is a lot of white men watching two black men beat each other up. That's what he said. What keeps me going is goals. That's a good one, too.
That is.
That's a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm.
I like that one. Old age is just a record of one's whole life.
Mm.
That's good, too.
Right.
And one of his favorite quotes was,
"Float like a fly, like a butterfly, sting like a bee,
yeah.
Feel the brute force of Muhammad Ali."
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, and one of his quotes was, and I think it was a Nike commercial, "Impossible is nothing." You know, they interviewed George Foreman on Good Morning, CBS Good Morning.
Mm-hmm.
And George Foreman was, before he became a minister, he was a mean, tough guy, and he couldn't. And he hated Ali before the rumble in the jungle. And he had just beaten up Joe Frazier, knocked him down 5 or 6 times, just beaten Ken Norton, and he was waiting for Ali because he was going to waste Ali in 2 rounds.
Wow.
And, you know, and as it turned out that Ali had the rope of dope, which was a... And I went to see that fight. It was closed circuit. And we thought that Ali was... What's he doing? He's standing there on the ropes and taking these punches. But after the 5th or 6th round, then you realize that George Foreman's arms were so heavy and slow after because he was punching Ali and really not hurting him. He took a lot of shots to the body.
Wow.
And then Ali saw the opening and put a combination of rights and lefts to George Foreman's head and knocked him out.
Wow, he did.
But, you know, afterwards, George Foreman turned to be a very funny, positive type individual. And him and Ali were very good friends. And when Norma Donald on CBS this morning asked, what did you think of Rumble in the Jungle? George Foreman says, that was not Rumble in the Jungle. I was mugged in the jungle. And then afterwards, Norma said, asked him, why did Ali and him become so much friends after Ali beat him?
Mm.
He says, Norma, if he beat you like he beat me, you become his friend too. But, you know, you heard so many kind words and so many stories about how Ali went to hospitals to visit people that were hungry. He wouldn't even think twice about it.
Right.
And he was such an ambassador to life and how we should approach people. And he was a constant reminder that there are needs of others.
Right.
And that's the way he should be remembered.
Right. Well said. I'm going to hold you right there.
Yep.
We have to take our first break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Stop by the Oak Knoll Wildlife Sanctuary on Tuesday, June 21st at 10 a.m. for Nature Ramblers. The theme of June's Nature Ramblers is Wiggly Worms. The 60-minute session encourages your child's love for nature through interactive lessons, stories, crafts, nature walks, and animal encounters. Outdoor components are determined by weather, yet the sanctuary makes an effort to include outdoor exploration and play during every class. Nature Ramblers is intended for children 3 to 5 years of age. For more information or to register, call Oak Knoll at 508-223-3060.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the
country. When I grow up, I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny porch.
I want to be a skyscraper.
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be
a...
I want to be a...
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
If you are experiencing an unplanned pregnancy and are unsure of what to do or where to get help, Abundant Hope Pregnancy Resource Center in Attleboro is here for you. We provide lab-quality pregnancy tests and counseling to help you plan for your future. And to those families struggling to take care of their little ones, we offer diapers, wipes, and baby food. Perhaps you are experiencing pain or grief from an abortion. We have a post-abortive healing program to help you resolve those feelings. Our services are always free and confidential. Call us at 508-455-0425.
The Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro will host What is Archaeology Anyway? On Tuesday, July 12th at 10 a.m. This event will answer all of your most profound archaeological queries, such as, what was New England like before us? This event is intended for children ages 7 and older. To register, call the library's children's department at 508-699-0122.
Good morning. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Oh, yes. So listen, the lottery numbers today. Mass daily number is 6790. Rhode Island daily number is 0607. Mass cash, 4, 9, 16, 31, 33. Mega Millions, 34, 61, 66, 67, 68. Wow, what a run. The Mega Ball is 7 and the Mega Plier is 5. If you're out and about and heading to the air show, I have some information. The gates will open at 9 a.m. It's a free event, although there are many, many restrictions. No pets allowed, no coolers, you know, all these other things. So you can bring some food, but remember, no coolers allowed. They are going to do a very strict screening before you get there, but it's going to be a great, great show. And if you have an opportunity to stop by the Channel 10 WJAR tent, say hi to my daughter Kelly Bates. She's there doing some autograph signings today and also doing a live weather hit. Closer to home, North Attleboro, the Downtown Area Association of North Attleboro, is holding its third Strawberry Festival today from 10 a.m. to 2 at the Veterans Park. You can look for crafters and vendors and activities and food, including, of course, homemade strawberry shortcake with whipped cream. It is going to be awesome. They're also having a patriotic parade that steps off at 10 a.m. in front of Town Hall. So they're asking kids to decorate your bike and tricycles and wagons and wheels and join in the fun. It's going to be so much fun. So remember, it's the Dana Strawberry Festival. It's the third annual that starts today at 10 a.m. Looking for something a little bit different, there's a powwow at La Salette. The 42nd annual Native American powwow will be held from 10 a.m. to 5 on Saturday and Sunday. So La Salette, it's, you know where the fairgrounds are, where they have all those wonderful events on Park Street on Route 118. The events will include Native American arts and crafts, storytelling, singing and dancing. There's even going to be a raffle, and there's going to be a ton of children's activities. A donation of just $2. There's just no, it says no alcoholic beverages will be permitted. So you just want to make sure of that. There's a ton of concerts that are going to be here at the Xfinity Center, which I call Great Woods. Check them all out. There's just too many to mention right now because I have a guest in studio. And Tony, as always, has so much stuff to talk about. So I'll...
Yeah, you know, I just noticed that one of your papers.
Yes.
And I'm a car.
Yes,
nut,
you are.
And especially British cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to it last year. This weekend, the British Motor Car Festival at Colt State Park is going on right till tomorrow, started Thursday. And they have everything there. They have British food, British attire, British anything that's British. And I had three British cars when my heyday, or even my older days I had one. But it's on at Bristol State, at Colt State Park,
mm-hmm.
The British Motor Car Festival. So
sounds like fun.
Yep.
All right, and so you have something closer to home.
Yeah, you know, I'm on a member of the Attleboro High School Alumni Association, and I'm the chairman of Alumni Gathering. and it was our fifth annual gathering this past May 17th, I think it was. May 17th,
mm-hmm.
at the Attleboro Arts Museum. And we had such a wonderful and successful night. And it happened to be that Coach Cassidy, who was 95 years old, passed away. And his wake was the same night as our alumni gathering. But a lot of people came from the wake and came to our alumni gathering,
right.
including administrators, teachers, principals, and, of course, we had quite a few alumni that showed up. And the unique thing about our alumni gathering is that it's not like any other reunion where you go to your class reunion and you see just your classmates. But in this is you get to see classmates or underclassmen or upperclassmen, or you knew their brother or you knew their sister, because in high school it's such a close-knit community in your high school years. And so, and then we have 60 yearbooks on display, so a lot of them could go back and reminisce or show what they look like.
Yeah.
And I remember one picture that the Sun Chronicle ran the day after. It had Tony Caponegro, class of 1948, showing his picture to Diane Mangiarotti, who I think was the class of either 1970 or 71.
Oh, nice.
And they were both laughing over it. And, you know, that's what the fun is. And we also have featured guests. One was Megan Fuller, who was a graduate of 2010. And she's the current Miss Massachusetts.
Nice.
So she was there and she spoke. And we also honored Ray Conniff, who would have been 100 years old this year.
Wow.
Who was a graduate of class of 1934. And he was a Grammy Award winner for Somewhere My Love, from the epic movie Dr. Zhivago. And we also had Mike Dorenzo. But Mike took ill. He lives on Long Island. Mike is a noted photographer, and his work is displayed all over the United States. Every 4th of July in the Sun Chronicle, you'll see Mike's photographs. They highlight Mike's some of his photographs. And Mike is also, for the 2017 National Parks calendar, he will be the cover photo of the 2017 National Parks.
What a nice tribute for
Native. Quite a photographer, mm-hmm. former teacher, graduated in 1968
mm-hmm.
from Attleboro High. So we're planning to have Mike back next week, next year. And his work will be displayed at the community gallery in the museum for the month of May next year.
Oh,
it was supposed
perfect.
To be this year, but it just didn't work out.
All right, switch gears and put your hat on for the Park Commission, because there's a couple of things going on and also a children's event, correct?
Yes, there's tons of things, as always,
right.
at the park. This month and next month, in August, too, there'll be, you'll see a lot of activity, especially in the Rose Garden and the Agopian Walkway, weddings going on, family functions going on, and they booked the Anderson Garden, the Rose Garden, that is, which is beautiful since the Attleboro Garden Club did it over. They planted in some hardier roses and colorful roses, so they'll be blooming all year long. And a lot of people are taking advantage of it. We also have our annual summer concerts, which are held every Thursday night
mm-hmm.
from the first Thursday after the 4th of July.
Right.
And they'll run through August, the last Thursday of the season. We have 8 concerts with a wide variety of music, too, as well. And we also have a special concert. I believe it's July 17th, a Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4, and the theme is in memory of Ray Conniff, and it's at the Ray Conniff bandstand. But we have, forgive me, I've forgotten the name of the group. It's such a large group that we're going to hold it in the Newell Shelter this Sunday, because
mm-hmm.
The Ray Conniff bandstand is small, and it can probably hold 10 people comfortable with their
instruments.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That's okay.
And so we're going to move it over to New Shelton. So far, of all our summer concerts and our Ray Conniff Memorial concerts, we've been blessed with good weather.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I can get that out of what's his name when he calls in this morning?
I hope so.
Jim Corbett.
Yes, he will be calling in at 7:35 to give us a weather hit. Yes.
And there's we have the at the zoo, Gene's done, our zoo director, done a tremendous part with our zoo, and I'm mighty proud of her and her staff and the work that they've done. We have the Kids Expo, and that's going to be on Saturday, July 30th, from 12 to 4 o'clock. Reach out and increase brand awareness, provide hands-on demonstrations, distribute collateral materials, but most importantly, strengthen your community relations. So for more details, you can call the Sun Chronicle at 508-236-0317. And again, that's July 30th from 12 to 4 at Capon Park.
That's great. It's a
and
kids
also,
expo.
Too, while I'm on a roll with the zoo, this year it's their annual passport series.
Right. Where are we going this year?
Medico.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. No kidding.
Before Don Trump builds the wall. But, and boy, that is such a great night. It's a 21 and over event.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't have the date, but it's in September. I do know. And it's on a Saturday evening. And it's, I think, from 7 to 10 o'clock or 10:30. And there'll be all sorts of Mexican authentic food, music, entertainment. It'll be a festive night. And it's just nice to have the zoo lit up with all the lights at night and always tons of people.
Wow.
So, again, plenty of things going on at the zoo. And, of course, the zoo is open every day. And they've had good crowds there. So far this year, and a lot of field trips. A lot of the schools are finishing up their field trips.
They are. Yes, they are. Yeah. Wow. Lots to do and see at the zoo and the splash pad.
And while I'm on
everything.
The car thing.
Yes. Go ahead.
The South Attleboro Lions Club.
Yeah.
It's going to hold their 21st annual car show down at La Salette.
Those
and,
are fun.
Yeah, and that's usually a good collection.
Oh my
of
God.
Many cars.
Yes.
And you know, us older guys who have these cars, because if you look at it, they're mostly older people who reminisce of their young days driving around with girls and cars. The memories are starting to come back. Anyways, they're proud to show their cars and their collection is. And you know what's the fun part about it is talking to these guys, the owners.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what you had to go through and all that stuff. So that's on August 28, 2016, mark that on your calendar, the 21st Annual Antique Car Show, sponsored by the South Attleboro Lions Club, which is a great organization.
Okay, and before we go, we have a couple of things we want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
The golf tournament and the expo for the census. So I'll do the expo.
Okay.
Because that's coming up Saturday, June 18th. From noon to 5 p.m., it's the 8th Annual Expo for the Census. So everybody come on down.
At the park.
I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting there. It has it. Yes, it says explore the senses by tasting food samplings from 10 area restaurants by listening to music at the Ray Conniff Bandstand. See gorgeous glittering jewelry for sale and get in touch with art and craft exhibitors. Take a free ride on the fast-spinning Ferris wheel. I don't think so. And climb a rock wall. Don't miss this giant raffle, and names will be pulled at 4:30 p.m. So, anyway, it's fun for all. It's free admission. Kids will enjoy fire and police exhibitions, face painting, free caricatures, and the children's craft table. Come and see. I'm fascinated by the sidewalk chalk art and sand art, folks, when they come. It's really great. It all takes place at the Attleboro Capron Park Zoo. And visitors are encouraged to wear comfortable shoes and carry sunscreen. The event, again, is open from noon to 5, and we certainly will be promoting it because it's next week.
Right, and that's the first time they had it at Capon Park because it's always been held in downtown Attleboro.
That's right.
Yeah, so that's why it's a changing venue.
All right, and last one before we go to break.
Okay, friends of the Reverend Elise Larson Senior Center, they're going to have their first annual golf tournament, and all the proceeds are going to go to support the many programs and activities at the center that provides for the senior citizens. And it's going to be at Rehoboth Country Club, and that's a beautiful golf course.
Yes.
It has a par 5, I think it's 7th hole, which I couldn't reach in in the 6. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be Wednesday, June 15th, which is coming up.
This week. Yes.
It's going to be scramble, four-man teams. And the fees are individual, $125, and for a team of four, $500. So just make your checks out to the Friends of the Larson Senior Center. And again, all the proceeds are going to support the programs and activities for the senior citizens at the Larson Senior Center.
Thank you very much. Okay, you are listening to Out and About with Lane. We're a little over, but that's okay because it's my show. So take us out to a break, Mike, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Being beat up and battered around, being sent up and I've been shut down. You're the best thing that I've ever found. Handle me with care. Reputation's changeable, situation's terrible.
Attleboro's annual Kids Fourth Fun Day will be held at Ponson Hewitt Field on July 4th from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Activities at the event will include the annual bike parade, a baby crawl race, a three-legged race, a wheelbarrow race, and more. Parents should come ready to participate as we offer adult versions of the contests. As always, DJ Nate Adams is donating his services and there will be complimentary hot dogs, chips, and beverages for everyone. Weather permitting, the sprinklers will be on, so don't forget your bathing suit and towel. No pre-registration is required.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Are you ready to run for a purpose? Join runners from around New England for the first annual Pan Mass Challenge Trail Jog for Jack 5K. This charity run supports pediatric cancer research and the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. The run will be through the beautiful trails in and around North Attleboro's World War I Park and Julia's Garden. The race will kick off on Saturday, July 9th at 9 a.m. For more information and to register for the race, go to runsignup.com and search for Trail Jog for Jack.
Imagine me and you, I do. I love this song, and actually the Turtles are actually coming to the Park Theater. It's the Happy Together Tour next Friday night in Cranston, and I'm going to see if I can get some tickets to score that concert. I think it'll be a blast. And that's just like, if I have the time, because next week, next Saturday, is the last week before my vacation, and I will not be here on the 25th, but I do have my good friend Tom Rafferty filling in. So I can only imagine, because I'll be overseas, what's going to transpire between Tom and Mike on that show on June 25th. So it'll be quite interesting. Before the break, we were talking about the Farmers Market, which it starts next Saturday from 9 to 1 p.m. So we'll have to have 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So we will have to...
At the O'Connell Field.
There you go. We were trying to figure that out. Okay. So on our line right now, we have Jim Corbin to give us a weather hit for today and the weekend. And tell us something good, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, Mike. Well, I'll tell you some really good news. After we get through tonight, I think we're on a pretty good weather ride. for the rest of the upcoming week, really. So that is the good news. Now, immediate minor concern that you might have looked out if you're in the greater Attleboro area, there's some ground fog out there. It's not exactly heavy fog, but it's the patch of fog is just now beginning to shrink. The sun is out in many areas right now, but I can see on visible satellite that it's still in the Attleboro area. Not most of Rhode Island now, the sun is shining, and also to the east over towards Taunton. But we have this area of ground fog that is thinning out. So what we're going to have is where the fog is out now, that'll thin into some sunshine, high clouds, and where there is some sunshine, that will continue for the next several hours. However, we do have a warm front that is headed this way. We're going to be right on the edge of very warm air. You might have heard over the last several days, it's been in the 90s in Minnesota, and hot weather. As a matter of fact, it's going to be about 90 as nearby as Philadelphia today, so it's going to be down in the mid-Atlantic area, 90s today. Now, we're not going to see that, at least for a while. However, late this afternoon, mid to late afternoon, into much of this evening, we're going to be dealing with showers and thunderstorms. So if you have plans this afternoon into this evening, you may get wet. Now, some of those storms could be strong, maybe with some small hail. Again, not quite the same situation we had the other day. Remember when some of us saw some hail, and either that or just some downpours, lightning and thunder. But just keep an eye to the sky. Now, I bring this up because obviously it's the weekend. It's not the greatest of timing. However, once we get through this, we're going to develop a general west-northwest airflow over the coming days. That's off the land, not the water. And although it's not going to be very warm, at least it's not going to be very cool either. So temperatures today getting into the low 70s this afternoon. And then we'll have the several hours off and on rain showers and thunderstorms. Again, if it looks a little threatening to the southwest, that could be headed your way. I say your way, anyone listening, because, a lot of people obviously have plans later this afternoon into this evening. Now, tomorrow, we're going to start out with a little bit of light shower activity very early in the day. Then we're going to have increasing sunshine, temperatures getting into the low 70s, but it will start to cool off in the afternoon. We're going to have one more quick burst of cool temperatures coming in later tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, after we get into the 70s and then back to the 60s tomorrow, increasing sunshine. So tomorrow, a little or no chance of rain through most of the day. We're going to have cool night tomorrow night, so that by Monday morning, many of us could be looking at down near 50, like we've had the last couple of nights where it's been kind of cool. However, Monday, mostly sunny to partly sunny, a mixture of sun and clouds, windy, a high of about 70 degrees. Then that's the last day we're going to see for a while that will not be, will be, below average temperature, because beginning on Tuesday, going through Wednesday, and of course we have that golf event you just mentioned, Elaine, on Wednesday, the weather looks fine at this point. We have a nice blocking situation in the atmosphere upcoming week. And we, as I always say, we're either on the bad side of the fence or a good side in these blocking patterns. Well, we're on the good side of the fence, I think, weather-wise. So we're looking at temperatures on Tuesday in the mid-70s, Wednesday mid and upper 70s, Thursday upper 70s to near 80, Friday low 80s potentially, and then the good news, I think, for the weekend, the next weekend, not this weekend, obviously, and, of course, Father's Day is a week from tomorrow. We have still, and I've been talking about this most of the last week, we still have our first chance of 90 degrees by Father's Day. So I know some people don't want to hear that. They don't want it at 90 degrees, but then again, we haven't had it yet, so we're due. Both Saturday and Sunday, this upcoming weekend again, not this weekend, next weekend, we're looking at maybe mid-80s on Saturday and about 90 on Sunday, and perhaps at least 90 the following Monday. Notice the one word I didn't mention in that, Elaine, was...
snow.
Well, I didn't say that. You're right, no snow. But what's the other type of word, the R word?
Well, rain, lots of rain.
Rain, yeah. Right after tonight, I don't think we're going to see any rain for at least a week.
Now, wow, of course, that's
great. That's good news for outdoor activities, but, of course, you always want to make sure, as it dries out, if you have plants out there, maybe give them the water. Probably later next week, we may be hearing complaints, so when is it going to rain again? Well, as we always say, we try to please everyone. We've had a healthy dose of rain off and on over the last few weeks, so we could take a good week stretch of no rain. In fact, if the weather blocking pattern sets up after tonight, there may not be any rain of any consequence for about 10 days. We could go into next Tuesday, not this Tuesday, next Tuesday. So we very well could be in a situation where we have dry weather for 9 or 10 straight days, which obviously is great news for outdoor activities. And by the way, the day after Father's Day, the 20th, not only is it the longest day of the year, summer solstice, but it's also the full strawberry moon coming up a week from Monday.
Hey, listen, I'll be traveling out of Boston then, so I'll be actually be able to see it because I will be going up on 35,000 feet up over to Madrid. So I will definitely have to look out the window because I have a window seat. So I will try to capture that.
Excellent. Yeah, you should hope if you're up that high, you should have a good view of it, unless there are some high clouds. But chances of that are pretty low. But the really only negative I can come up with is of immediate concern mid to late afternoon into this evening around the Attleboro-Providence area, Taunton, Woonsocket, the threat of showers and thunderstorms that could be strong. But then after that, we live the good life, I think, for at least a week.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, and I, early in the show, I said maybe I could put some reservations into you to keep our summer concerts rain-free. Do you think you could fulfill that, Jim?
I will make every attempt. every attempt to try to do that. Last year, all the farmers' markets, the weather was almost dry every day, every Saturday morning. And as I've also said in the past, this is the time of year when the majority of most rain is in the afternoon and evening. So any events typically in the summertime, because they're usually enhanced by the heating of the sun, if you have things that go on in the morning, you have a better chance of it not raining than in the late afternoon and evening. Mm-hmm. And today is case in point. We're going to get rain in the mid to late afternoon into this evening, and then that's it. So again, hopefully as the events start kicking in over the coming weeks, mentioned this Saturday coming up, of course, the farmer's market begins, but also the what's the other event there in the park at the same day? You just mentioned, I always forget.
By the way, we've had an up and down spring this year. But Thursday, I was up in Braintree watching the Attleboro High School baseball team in the tournament. Yep. And I had to wear two coats. It was so windy and so cold because most baseball fields are wide open and you get to get windy out there. But the sun was, there was cloud cover, so it even made it worse.
It was a chilly air mass.
It was.
On Thursday.
Mm. Yeah, especially at 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, and because you just mentioned the fact that there was not much sun either and the wind, that made it feel cool. I think the coolest day over the next week to 10 days easily is going to be this Monday. It may not get above 70, which you say, that's not bad, but that's still cooler than today's going to be and cooler than what it's going to be beginning on Tuesday next week. But tonight is going to be a kind of a humid night, so it may not get below about 65 for lows tonight. So a hint of summer in terms of temperature tonight, and then a cool day on Monday, and then we warm up again. So I'll tell you, overall, it looks great. But our problem of immediate concern is mid to late afternoon into this evening. On radar, I can also see the showers now crossing almost into Syracuse, New York, coming in from the west. So just watch out this afternoon and this evening, and then we're high-flying beginning tomorrow into almost all of next week.
All right, sounds great. Listen, I'll talk to you next week. And are you coming in next week?
Yep.
Excellent. All right, so we'll have you live and in person before I go away. This is great.
All right, I'll talk to you then. I'll see you then, and have a great week. And just watch out this afternoon, and then we live the good life weather-wise beginning tomorrow.
All right, sounds great, Jim. Thanks, Jim. Have a great one. Thanks. All right, so Jim's given us a really interesting forecast. We have to take a quick break. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine on the Flip Side. When we come back, a little bit more serious note about an IRS fraud scheme that's going around, and I was involved in that yesterday. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back after these messages.
And the Ad Council.
On September 27th from 6:30 to 8 p.m., the Mansfield Public Library will host a Social Security workshop presented by Bob Wolf, Executive Director and Financial Advisor of J.P. Morgan Securities in Boston. Bob will educate the group about retirement and Social Security with research backed by J.P. Morgan Chase. His presentations are created to assist attendees in making informed decisions for years to come. To register for the program, contact Amy Rosa at 508-261-7380.
No New Year's Day to celebrate.
Okay, we are back because we ran a little over, and this is our computer keeps us honest and on time, but we're humans, so I mean, you know, when we're talking and everything, you kind of get out of sync a little bit with the timing, and that's quite all right, because I would never cut off a guest, except, no, I'm only kidding.
Except me.
So, I didn't say that. Our number here is 508-222-1320. I did want you to get a heads up on something. Yesterday, I got this phone call from someone, and their number is 773-630-5620. 24, and because it came up on my caller ID, and they claimed that they were from the IRS legal department and that I owed $8,100 in back taxes for like 3 years or 4 years or whatever.
Wow.
And they said that agents are coming to my house to serve me with a summons to appear in court within the hour. So I said, really? Anyway, Tony's making fun of me, but it was like, you know, if I didn't know any better, it was very intimidating. The person was very forceful in his articulation to make sure that he knew that I knew that this was a serious thing. Right. So I said to him, oh, really? I said, well, you know, generally, and I have had the IRS contact me, but they always send a certified letter. And they said, we did send you something in March. I said, no, I don't think so. I think this is a scam. And I hung up. And then, of course, I went on the IRS website. And sure enough, it was a scam. They call it a phishing type of thing where people get intimidated and they want your personal information and they won't accept right. a check and they want your routing number, whatever, and it's a big scam. So if you have been called by the IRS, just know that they would never call you. Right. And there are tips on the IRS website that says that too. They would always contact you through mail first. And they would always, always work with you. They would never demand payment. I mean, geez. So that's one scam. And then I think that another one, oh, I have to tell you that if you're expecting a Rhode Island refund like I am.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, 35,000 of us are still waiting. And
now they're saying till the end of July.
Yeah, they said July.
They said originally end of May.
Right.
Now it's the end
June,
of July.
June and then July, yeah. But there's another one that I want you to be aware of, and it just hit the news. And because everybody's out and about, they're fly-by-night home improvement people that are out there mm-hmm. with their pickup trucks. They target the elderly. They say that they're going to come and redo your driveway for a really cheap price. And what's happening is they come and they put this oil residue on the driveway. Say, okay, you need to pay us the money now. We'll be back in an hour to, you know, resurface. But also what happens is they... When the person comes up, they generally have two or three people. They distract the elderly person, and another person will ask to use the bathroom or whatever, goes in the house. Well, this poor woman was taken for $20,000 in money and jewelry.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. So, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't a good deal. So, you know, keep on walking. So, yeah.
You know, that's an old thing, though, you know. And I don't know why people still fall for it. If anybody came knocking at my door and said, hey, want to do my driveway or want to do my roof, I would say, you know, if I wanted somebody to do it, I'd call. You know, that's the first sign. But you always hear that people like, and it's always the elderly. And
yeah.
I don't know why they fall for it. But
well, because they're 86, 96, whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
still.
They, you know, I think that people, you know, in dire straits and living on a fixed income, you know, this is a good deal. Their property isn't going to be kept up as, you know, like if you're a homeowner. And much younger, you can get out there and take care of the property. So they probably just target these folks, which is really a shame. And I think it's elderly abuse and robbery and fraud.
Yeah.
So I think that they should be criminalized. But they did someone had done a story on this. So just be mindful that there are crooks out there that are riding around, you know, trying to see if you need any repair on different things. So it's crazy, but it's true. So, yeah, just be aware that these things are happening. And yeah, the IRS, that phone number, it was pretty, pretty intense, I have to say. And if I wasn't savvy to all of that, I probably would have been really shook up by it. So, but yeah, the IRS says no. And I have a friend who does my taxes. He's a IRS enrolled agent, and he's out in Hawaii now. So I emailed him, and he said, yeah, definitely a scam. He said, you paid your taxes always. And I said, yeah, I know. I said, never get a refund. I always make too much, and I have to pay. So,
In the 60s, IRS knocked on my, well, at that time I was living with my parents, because I hadn't filed a tax return 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they owed me money anyways on it. But I forgot I had filled it out, threw it in the back trunk of, in the trunk of my GTO, and it was still there. I forgot to mail it. But they don't call. They didn't call. They came knocking on the door.
They did?
Yeah. But they knew. It must have been, you know, back in the 60s, maybe it was different.
Oh, it was very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Congress and everyone had passed laws to protect us because they were brutal. They were brutal. My dad owned his own business and everything, and he had to estimate taxes every quarter and stuff. And, oh, I remember the headaches, you know. But on a lighter note, I mean, we're going to be out and about next week. Jim Corbyn is going to be coming in. And that'll be great because I wanted to see him and talk to him before I went on vacation. And then Tom Rafferty will be on June 25th, too. So we have a great week next week and all these wonderful things that are happening out and about.
Can I ask, what are you going to do in Madrid?
I'm going to be waiting 2.5 hours for my next plane to go to Marseille, France.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're not going to spend any time in Spain.
Just the airport.
Oh, okay.
But I can do some damage shopping in the gift stores.
Yeah, because it'd be nice to go along a hillside cafe with a glass of wine and a...
Oh, I certainly would be doing that in France.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I have like 20,000 things to do, and this week I have to really formulate my plan.
And how long are you going to be in France?
A week.
And what part of France?
Provence, which is south. Near Marseille, it's like about an hour north.
Uh-huh.
From Paris, it's 5.5 hours south.
5.5 hours south, okay.
Yeah, my sister and her husband are going to be there.
Oh, really?
At the same time I am, yeah. But they're on a riverboat cruise. Oh. They're leaving Friday, this coming Friday. I'm leaving Monday. Okay. But my brother-in-law is doing a bucket list trip to Normandy because his father fought in World War
II. So you won't see him?
No, it's impossible because they're on a boat and I'm going to be on land.
Right.
So we kind of figured that out because, like, on Friday they'll be back in Paris for 4 days. And I thought maybe I'd take a train up there, but it's just impossible. It just really, I'd waste 10 hours on a train.
Yeah.
So we decided not to do that. Yeah. So we'll see each
other.
Good. Yeah, I'll see her today, actually. We're going to breakfast.
And hopefully the weather will be cooperative. And
let me tell you, I've already checked it out. It's going to be like 78 to 83 every single day. It's going to be raining. And it's going to be raining all this week, but next week it's going to be perfect weather.
Wow.
I can't wait. And you know what, Tony? I'll tell you like I tell everybody else. I don't care if it rains every day because I'll be eating the finest croissants in the morning and drinking wine at 12:05 in the afternoon.
You know, and on any vacation, there's always a line where you say, leave your troubles behind you, and, you know, you're on vacation. So, you know, so regardless if it rains or whatever, you're still going to have a good time.
I am. I've already planned ahead. And I've given some travel tips for international travel because there's a State Department advisory to U.S. citizens passing over to Europe.
Right.
And you just have to be aware. But there's there's an international soccer match and tournaments that are coming up. So it's going to be packed in. And Marseille is one of the cities that it's hitting, but not Provence. Provence is a little bit smaller city.
Right.
Very vibrant.
Yeah, and you can't be paranoid or what... You have to live your life to your terms, you know.
Correct, yeah. But they just say, you know, like the like I can't wear my Boston Marathon jacket that I have on today, obviously, but there are other precautions that I certainly will take. But I'm going to have a hell of a lot of fun. I really am.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be exciting. So one last thought. What are you going to be doing this week?
This weekend? This week I have a park commission meeting and a Civil War Monument Restoration Meeting.
Oh.
And other than that, I have a pretty free week, so.
Excellent.
My time is, and it's my wife's last week in school, so I'm still king of the house until the 19th of June.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and then the queen comes in. And
there you go.
Yeah, so.
And then you have your honey-do list.
Oh, God, yeah. I have my honey-do list every day. I just don't do it because she's not around.
Well, listen, folks, I'd like to thank you all for listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be back next Saturday. But stay tuned for Dominic. He'll be back on Monday from 6 to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. And we'll be back certainly next Saturday from 7 to 8 a.m. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, thanks for listening. I'd like to thank my guest, Tony Viveras, Jim Corbin, and, of course, Mike Catanzaro on my board that always keeps me up and around. So we're going to leave you with some happy songs, and have a great week.